Good evening. I greet all of you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. It is good to be together in the house of the Lord. Amen. And we have God's word. He says, when two or three of us gather, get together in his name, he is in our midst. He didn't lie about it. And we're here in his name. And he's here in our midst. Amen. Welcome to the Wednesday night service. I'm standing here because I was given the clarion call to stand here. I'm standing here under the authority of Pastor Woodrow Walker and all the authority above, Pastor Woodrow and Francine Walker. And you can operate in the authority that you're always willing to operate under. Amen? So we're going to, we're going to pray and get right into the word. I may share a word or two of testimony, but I'm going to pray first. Excuse me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do thank you that we can come together in the mighty name of Jesus, matchless name of Jesus. So, Lord, we submit ourselves to you tonight, and we pray for supernatural comprehension. We pray for supernatural retention and recall. As you speak to us tonight, Lord, we pray that we will receive your word, mix in faith with it. So, Father, everybody in this room, and if there's anybody watching me by other means or listening to me by other means, we claim you in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ. We welcome you. God is going to speak to us, and he's going to say something specifically to each one of us. So be ready. Grab a hold to it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to share a word or two about my testimony. 39 years ago, in February 24th, I was ordained as a deacon while I was living in New York State, the village of Williamville. And God set me up. I moved to North Tonawanda, New York, stayed there for a year, and then we bought a house out in Williamville, New York. But I moved next door to an elderly couple that had kids the same age my kids were at the time. And I'm looking at this, and then they finally told us, no, these are our adopted kids, and we raised several sets of kids. It was very good people. And God set me up, and in the process of time, they started inviting our kids to church. I worked a lot on the weekend, and I'm not going to use that as an excuse, because I was not in church. I was not in church, lived in Erie. I was not in church in Erie, went back to Cleveland occasionally, and even sometime when I went back, I didn't go to church. I wasn't raised like that, but we all, as Bishop Bishop Mitchell would say, we got a bad past. But anyhow, I was baptized when I was 8 years old, AME Church, 50 miles south of here, and something very unique. I had to sit on the morning bench the fourth Saturday night in August. And by the time Thursday came, I knew that we had one more night, but so I wanted to make it look like I knew what I was doing. So I went up off of the morning bench on a Thursday night. And I got baptized. I had a choice between water or sprinkler, but I wanted to be baptized for whatever reason. I don't know why. Maybe something was going on, but as a kid, I wanted to be baptized. And my mother and father, they dressed me up, new outfit, everything new. White robe, I mean, and I was baptized, and they was excited. I was baptized in water. Okay, fast forwarding all of these many years from 8 years until 1977. Father's Day. I think me and Pastor Walker holds that in that day in common because I believe something happened to him on a Father's Day in 1977. I united with the church there like I want in New York. And then in the process of time, I was ordained a deacon February of 24. So this past February with 39 years as a deacon. Now I was ordained here as a deacon and so on. We came, and my family came to this church. God led us to this church in 84, April 1984. We graduated from New Beginnings in September of 84. So we've been here a while, and I'm just glossing over it, but there's a lot more to that, and I honor my parents for that because they were leading and doing the best they knew how and giving eight of us the best they had. I'm the fourth boy of six, so I appreciate that, and I don't make it lightly, and they were excited. But again, before I united with Second Baptist Church, before that, Father's Day, 1977, I got born again. And when I said born again, I talked to the Lord, and I said, I don't know what happened back there when I was eight. I'm sure my parents was serious, and I'm sure I was serious, but if I'm already saved, then it's not going to hurt anything to do it again. Y'all remember that movie, Let's Do It Again? But anyhow, I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to get in line. And then I got to thinking, and I'm an over-the-road driver. I drove professionally for 35 years. I'm an over-the-road driver, and I promised God, talked to God early on in the week. Then I got to thinking, I said, Lord, if you can save me Sunday at church, then you can save me right now. I don't have to make it to Sunday. At that time it was 73-280. When you gross at 73-280 and you roll in 65 and 70 miles an hour with a set of doubles, if you blow a front tire, we don't know what may happen. But anyhow, I successfully made 2 million miles without an accident. I got my first million miles in 82. And 90% of it was on Interstate 90 in snow and ice. On snow and ice. But I said, Lord, we can get saved right now. And I received Jesus Christ. And I was thinking about it. And I thought about it. I think Chris said something about it when he was here a couple of 2 or 3 Sundays ago. You remember the King's Man speak on Sunday. He said, repentance means that you're going to get off of the bus or something, I'm paraphrasing, that you own and go a different direction. But in order to do that, you got to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. You got to confess Jesus Christ. That's what he said. You got to confess it. It is a mindset. It's a decision. It's a not my will, but thy will be done. So you make a decision. So in other words, what you're really doing, you already have a king. So you going to renounce one king, and then you're going to receive another king. King Jesus. Receive him to get born again, because he is the seed. When you receive it, it germinates. But anyway, that's not, I just want to get that down, and that's part of my testimony. And I was ordained on the 24th, and a busload of people came up from Cleveland in February. And you know what the weather is like, but they about 40 of them came up for my ordination, and I was the only one being ordained. My pastor, Dr. Alan B. Green, and he had already been called to another church in Erie, Pennsylvania, Second Baptist in Erie, Pennsylvania. I just moved from Pennsylvania December 74. And now this is 73 years later. But anyway, he said, well, I want to ordain you. He catechized me and drilled me, but when you're being ordained as the only one, you don't have anybody to hide behind. Amen? Anyway, I was ordained, and then right now, I haven't seen him probably 35, 40 years. I don't know. It's been a long time, but he's still alive, and I understand he's in Jefferson, Texas, and I'm probably going to find him. But anyway, let's get down to. But when where I'm headed is the guy that was on the program to charge me. He didn't show. Another guy, Reverend Leslie Mays, showed up because I invited him, and my connection with him, he used to drive 25 miles out of Buffalo to North Tonawanda to witness to me, to talk to us, and witness to me. I was the target. And he said, well, he would come out, and then he said, well, I'm going to go, and he would come back later on, and he was faithful. So I invited him. So when the guy didn't show up, my pastor plugged him in. And in the charge, and I want us to get, this is where I'm headed. You all are familiar with this. You got to stay with me now, because I'm headed somewhere. But anyway, he charged me. He says, Deacon Butler, I want you to know one thing. Satan is a deceiver. He is a deceiver. He is a deceiver. And he's good at it. He is so good at it, he deceived himself. So you can't get no better than that. He deceived himself. But he said he can take a 10-cent canoe and make it look like a $100,000 yacht and get you about 15 miles out in the Lake Erie. Then he'll show you one of the biggest storms coming up and coming at you if you ever seen. And then he's going to pull the curtain and let you know that you're on a 10-cent canoe. That's what he's doing today. He didn't change. The first of the year of godly influence. Godly influence. Make sure it can be ungodly influence. We want to make sure that it's godly influence. But having said all of that, Reverend Mays charged me, and that stuck with me, and it pulled me through a lot of spots. And of course, he said, you fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness, spirit of wickedness in high places. Now, the year of spiritual influence, godly influence, I thought about roots back there in the late 70s, early 80s, and it was interesting, the documentary of that. And we thought about, where did I come from? Roots. Now, I didn't know then, but I learned some things later about my roots, and I don't have time to go into it, but thank God that that it was explained to me by my father. And one thing my father, and I'm going to dumb rabbit trip, one thing my father did explain to me, he says, the way you understand baptism is you got to look at it as a liquid grave, boy. A liquid grave. So you go down that water, but it's liquid, and you come back up. He says, don't ever forget that. Water baptism, because you're making a statement of something that has already happened on the inside of you. Amen? Liquid grave represents death. Now, thinking about roots, and I was reading through the book of Ruth. Y'all may have read it in the story. Israel didn't want kings anymore. They wanted judges. So they got the judges, and in the process of time, God says, everybody was just doing their own thing. Judges. Everybody was a judge. If you feel that it's right and this is what, so they were doing it. Amen? And that lines up with leaning to your own understanding, that line up and say, well, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And it's in Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25, two times. So lean into their own understanding, and that's what they were doing. But anyway, Naomi, her husband, they went to another city. And after the 10 years, her husband and her two boys, two sons, they died. The two boys, her husband died, and then the two sons died. And left the two sister-in-laws. And Naomi said, well, I've heard what's going on in Jerusalem, so she wanted to go back home, put it in short. And the two sister-in-laws wanted to go with her, and she talked to them and explained to them what was what. So one decided to go back. And here's the point. One decided to go back. She went back because they were serving other gods. She went back to other gods. But Naomi wanted to go back to where her roots was. Now, the other one, Ruth, says, I'm not going to go back. I'm going to go with you. Your God is going to be my God. Where you go, I'm going. Where you die, I'm going to die. Now, that was because of godly influence of Naomi. And then fast forward, and we get back up, say back where they're supposed to go. And now, Naomi instructed Ruth. Now, she says, we got a near kinsman. His name is Boaz. So she instructed her and coached her. Now, this is the mother-in-law, and telling her exactly what to do, because she had told her, look, I'm too old, and even if I could have a kid, two boys or a husband, you wouldn't wait that long. So, but she was being directed by God and told Ruth what to do. And as it turned out, near kinsman, and you all know the story, Ruth ended up marrying Boaz. And then out of Boaz came Obed, right? Then Obed had Jesse. Is that correct? Jesse then had David. King David. Now, I want to, but that's pre, what I just rattled off, we'll call that pre-tech. Now, I don't know what the post-tech is going to be, but we go trust God that it be what we need. The text, hopefully the Holy Ghost, I can't bring it into context, so we trust in the Holy Ghost to bring it into context. But now, the text, I want to read the text. This is Isaiah 11, and I'm thinking about this root thing. To bring things into proper perspective, we start looking, where did I come from? Where did I come from? And if you do the right search, you're going to find out that you came from God. Amen? Now, Isaiah 11, verse 1, and I'm going to read, I'm going to attempt to read this thing with the glare on me, and so bear with me. Make sure I got Isaiah 11. Okay. I'm sure it's up on the screen. This is a New King James. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall judge not after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he judges the poor and reprove the equity with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Okay? Spiritual influence. I read that but we kind of getting the perspective of what's going on here, right? That's Jesus. But Jesus really came down through 42 generations. If you read the genealogies, he came down through 42 generations, and that's just a little bit of background of roots. But in order to bring it into perspective, now we go back to Genesis, the first three chapters, and we see the Holy Ghost. We see God in Genesis 1, and the Holy Spirit was brooding over in the darkness, and things was in a mess. And then God spoke something. He said, "Let there be light." Order began right there. The earth submitted to the word of God. And in the process of time, God said, "Let us make man," meaning that it was more than one there. "Let us make man." And he made man out of the dust of the earth. And he breathed into him the breath of life. And he became a living soul. That means before God breathed into him, he was lifeless. But he breathed into. The word that I want to focus on is into. God breathed into him himself. Now the man responded. He exhaled. I believe he breathed back into God. Made a complete 360 circle. You can take it and twist it zero, and you come up with the figure eight. So, no end to it. Either way you shake it, slice the cut it. But he became a living soul. In the process of time, the bumped into Satan himself. Remember the deceiver? He deceived the serpent. Then the serpent eased up and asked Eve a question. You all heard this said in this from this pulpit. Has God said? Has God said? Has God said? He's setting Eve up to give us definition to the reality of our vision statement. Bridging the gap in changing mindsets. Or changing the mindset to make a gap. Does that make sense? But either way it go, his intention is to change a mindset. He says, has God said? Now he got her leaning the wrong way. He got on the rope. But he worked this thing, deception. He's a master at it. Now after he deceived Eve, and Eve said, I was deceived. Now her influence on Adam. And then the rest of the story, he followed through, got in agreement with her. Amen? I believe when he got in agreement with Eve, Adam activated something that would not have been activated if he'd have backed off and said, we got to talk about what God said. Has he said? Yeah. And this is what he said. Amen? That's why we're here, having a Bible study, so we can rightly divide the word of truth as workmen that need not to be ashamed. Because the enemy is going to come. Ready or not, he's coming. Amen? But he deceived. And Adam, and then process the time, God came. Adam, they hid because something had happened to them. And the reason he was able to con Eve or to deceive her, he made her believe that it was better to know knowledge or have knowledge of good and evil. Well, see, they was, above all of that, God was protecting them. He was protecting. Proverbs said, don't lean to your own understanding. She started, Satan is going to get you to lean to your own understanding. And when you start leaning to your own understanding, he got you. He can drop a three. He can do a layup. However way he wants to score on you, he can do it. Amen? Because he practiced. And we don't. Oh, my goodness. I didn't say that, did I? There's nobody here. That don't mean nobody here. We're talking about somebody else. Let me meddle a little while I'm on. I'm gonna meddle a little bit. I'm not gonna finish this, but I'm gonna meddle a little bit. All of these seats up in here. All of these seats. Everybody sitting in a seat, right? Now the word never returned to God void. So he sent his word here tonight. And the word came and got a seat all through this place. All these seats are full. The word is sitting everywhere other than where you're sitting. Am I making sense? Now, the word is going to you. I'm preaching to standing room only. Now, he made a provision for you. But you're not here. Now, when the word returns back to God, it's going to be an NS. No show. Oh, my goodness. That's why I said Melly. No show. No show. Now, I was some seats to know about them, but They okay. They okay. We gave the check as if they were here. So, but then we got some others that may be abusing it. I'm going to leave that alone. But anyway, you got that. The word won't return void. We quote Hebrew for the word is God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Well, it's two-edged. It's cut both ways. Amen? Don't forget that. Now, where was I? Okay, we was back. A guy asked me, and we have to get my taxes filled out. And me and another friend of mine, we was talking. And the guy stopped. He said, you know, I've always had I had a question. I want to ask the question about how did their eyes, how was their eyes open? You know, and he was really thinking about, well, didn't they know they was naked before? I said, no, when their eyes was open, you got a swinging door action. You close one door and you open another. They entered into the natural realm, stepped out of the spiritual realm. So he asked me, how come they didn't know that they were naked? I said, they were not naked. So he kind of looked at me. He said, why weren't they naked? I said, because they were clothed with the glory of God. That's why they were naked. I said, but when you lean to your own understanding, when you act as your own judge and jury, then he got you over on his side, has God said. He knows that you don't know. He's going to get you to violate the word. Amen? Now, so we got, there was some punishments and there was some decision made. Man was separated. They did, because he said, well, what about this dying thing? I said, well, you got to understand what it means to die. The definition. I says he was separated from God. Separation from God is spiritual death. Now, the soul is still there. Amen? And you are still a spirit, but you got a different king. Amen? Now, your soul, he's coming at you because he's got to get you to make a choice. He got to get you to agree with him. And he knows that he can get you to agree if you don't know the rules of the game. And once their eyes, spiritual eyes, were closed and the natural eyes was open, it was fair game, free picking. So now that is both sides of the equation. And out of that, all of us came. It's written in Genesis, Eve is the mother of us all, naturally. But we don't want to be deceived. And you have to understand, Peter, I'm going to quote Peter. He says, knowing this, first of all, brothers and sisters, no prophecy of any private interpretation. For the scripture came from God, and the holy men of God wrote the scripture as they was moved by the Holy Ghost. That's how it came. In Hebrew 1, it says, speaking of God as in sundry times and in divers manners, spake unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, Jesus Christ, by whom he made the world. Amen? Now, we've gone full circle. I can give you another scripture in Hebrew 5 and 14, where it says, the writer of Hebrew is saying, you guys should be able to handle meat. But I can't feed you meat because you're still a baby. You didn't nurse on the milk of the word. But he says, the time is that you should be able, by exercising your senses in the word, to discern, and he used that word, the difference between good and evil. Amen? And that's so key and it's so important, because if you don't know the difference between milk and strychnine, you'll drink the wrong thing, won't you? You follow me? So you got it right there. So now we are moving. We're where we are now. Jesus Christ. And as the message went forth Sunday, Jesus went to the cross. He didn't sin. He didn't sin, but he went to the cross because we had sin, past, present, and future. It was prophesied before the foundation of the world. He was slain before the foundation of the world. So now he going to the cross, and I'm moving. He going to the cross, and the Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But the trouble with it is true, but we all were dead and we were bankrupt. We owed a debt and we couldn't pay it. Amen. Jesus stepped up and said, well, I'll go down there. Make me a body. I'm not going to sacrifice burnt offering and all that other. It was okay for that period of time. God slain the first Adam and made blood was shed and clothes Adam and Eve. But now he's saying, Adam and blood is going to cover it. But now we got to deal with the penalty of sin. So that's why he came. And when he was put on the spot, he went out into the wilderness as he was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And then he had to do one-on-one with Satan. And Satan went to him and he threw a lot of stuff at him. But every time he came at Jesus, he went back at him with the word. He fed him the word. He didn't make a big to-do. He just fed him the word. He fed him the word. And you know the rest of the story. And Jesus came. He was obedient. But that debt still needed to be paid. Jesus stepped up. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he had a crowd with him. There wasn't nobody with him out there but the angels. They came later on out there. He took them one-on-one. Now Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and he had his entourage with him, right? But when he needed them the most, they were asleep. They were asleep. But Jesus, he stayed the course. He stayed the course. Sweated drops of blood. Because the flesh was recoiling against what he was facing. We got to go through our Gethsemane. You got to bring the body in line with God's will. Jesus, is there another way? Is there another way? You got to drink the cup. So, Jesus stepped up, said, okay, told Satan, I got the tab. I'm paying the price for sin. Once he paid, he could pay it, he qualified because he knew no sin. He didn't sin. Jesus said in the scripture, when Satan, I'm not going to talk much because the enemy is coming. And he will not find nothing in me. He will not find nothing in me. Qualified him to pay the debt for the remission of sin. Qualified it. Therefore, when he obeyed God, shed his blood, he activated all power, all authority. He became King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are joint heir with him. Amen? So, it's a lot in there, but you got to stay the course. Now, Jesus said, the enemy's coming, but he's not going to find anything in me. Now, I want to just kind of bring your attention to the book of Exodus. The Passover time. Remember when he said, told him, go and anoint your doorpost and the lintel. Go anoint it. And when the death angels move through here tonight, everywhere they see that blood, they're going to pass by. Amen? Now I'm going to throw something out here. You know, the Bible said, well, when Jesus comes, and he is coming, will he find faith on the earth? Why is he looking for faith? He says, because where the faith is, that's where my blood is. He's really looking for himself. He's looking because when he come and see the blood and see faith, he's not going to pass you by. He's going to pass those by who's not covered. You don't want to be there. That's a bad spot. Amen? But we're in this. And in the scripture, Timothy, it's all scripture, Paul writing, is given by the inspiration of God. It's good for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for correction, into righteousness. Amen? So that's why we come together to study, and you study at home and meditate, and we are in bodies that are not born again. Your body can't, it'll take you down a dirt road. Your mind is enmity to God. That's why Paul writing, and I'm going to close out, that's why Paul writing in Roman, he said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death, of sin? I thank God through Christ Jesus. You can't do it on your own. Amen. I'm going to close with this scripture. Paul, in Galatians 2 and 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I am dead, but nevertheless, I live. Then he said, but yet not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. Don't think you all of that. It's Christ living in you. Because he said, for the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of Paul. Did he say that? No, not. So he didn't say that, did he? He said, I live by the faith of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We live by the faith. So that's why I told you a minute ago, he's coming looking for himself. He's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, because he says, I'm going to bring him home. When he comes, if you have received him, confess him. You got off of the bus going westbound, and you got on the bus going eastbound. But the reason why we need this word and read why we need to apply 1 John 1 and 9, confess. Confess, confess, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, you know, if you say that you're not there, then you got to be calling him a liar because you're still in this body. Let's face it. We all got a eastbound attitude. I mean, we're going eastbound. Most of us got a westbound attitude. Eastbound with the westbound attitude, because you're dealing with this body. He's coming at your mind. Has God said, you better know what vain imagination to cast down. Because if you don't know what to cast down and you swallow it, strychnine. Amen? I said I was going to close. But when you talk about your roots, the Lamb of the tribe of Judah. The Lamb of the tribe of Judah. I got married early. Been married for 59 years or whatever. My daughter Lisa, and Sean, you all know him. I grew up here. And anyway, we in a battle. It's a war. And I preached a men's day program, I put it like that, service. Drove from Buffalo to Cleveland. My wife's uncle was sick, and he asked me to come. And the Lord gave me Ephesians 6, that finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The title to the message was, what kind of man are you? How much of the armament that you don't have on? Because it does tell you, charge your feet. Amen? And you guys know it. But anyway, if you don't know it, with the preparation of the gospel, please put on the helmet of salvation, because he's attacking the mindset. So in order for the gap to be mended together, if you will, and then you can be a bridge or a gap and influence. Yeah, the godly influence. Like it worked with Naomi, with Jesus. She came back, and you saw how his roots came together, but it all pointed to Jesus Christ to pay the sin debt. Amen? I got a lot more there, but anyway, we have it. Amen? We have it. I thank God for every one of you, and I'm going to pray for those that are in this room and others that may be tuned in or live streaming, whatever the case is. I want to pray for you. And if you're not born again, if you've not repented, you've not received, confess Jesus Christ. If you haven't changed kings, if you haven't got off of the westbound bus and got on the eastbound bus, you can make your mouth say anything. But when Jesus comes, he better be able to find himself in you. I want you to be humble and ask Jesus Christ with the heart. He says, if you believe in your heart, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, whosoever believe in his heart and confess with his mouth. You invite Jesus in, he'll come in. Amen? Down in prison ministry, I told him, I say, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. Y'all got it? We're talking about being born again. The spirit man being rejoined to the Spirit of Christ. Romans 8:9 says, if the Spirit of Christ is not in you, you don't belong to Christ. I mean, if he's not in you, imply that if you have not received him, you don't belong to him. Amen? So I invite anybody here, maybe you realize that you're not saved, or you've been going on a 8-year-old salvation like I was. God is not going to think bad about you if you said, Lord, I want to do this again. I may not have got it right. So if it's already intact, it's not going to hurt anything. But if you not join unto the Lord through by his spirit, then it's going to mean everything. Amen? Does that make sense? You all a good crowd. You're a good crowd. I can go another hour easy. But I'm gonna cut you loose now. You know, I can go another hour. Yes, I can boot up again. Seriously. But I'm gonna pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we again come to you in your name, and we pray blessings over everyone within the sound of my voice, anyone listening or tuned in by other means. Father, we thank you. We pray that John 6 and 44, we pray that you will draw them, Father, to you, that they would have a encounter with you that they've never had. Draw them to you, Father. Lord, we ask you to reveal yourself. We want them to understand the reality of what it means to be born again, truly converted. Father, we thank you for loving us, and we pray that by the power of the Holy Ghost, they will experience an encounter with the power of the Holy Ghost. Draw them, Father. Draw them to you. You said no man can come to you except you draw them. And we're asking you to draw them. And Lord, there may be somebody here that just want to make some amends. They may want to confess some stuff to you. We're already forgiven. As it was said on Sunday, Jesus said, "It is finished. It is finished." We have to activate some stuff along the way. Amen? We have to activate some stuff. So confessing it, you're activating it, and you're shutting down the power of darkness in your life. Lord, we thank you. We ask you to seal this word, everything that you said, Father. We ask that you would supernaturally bring it back to our understanding, our memories. Put us in remembrance of it. And Father, anything that was said that I shouldn't have said or I said, let it fall to the ground. We cancel it out in the name of Jesus. But Lord, we believe that you've touched life tonight. So Father, help us to be faithful. Help us, Father, to continue to press in, not to lose hope. The Bible tells us that they that live godly must suffer persecution. Every one of us must be able to take Satan on, not one-on-one, but with you in the wilderness when we have our Gethsemanes, Lord. We know that you are there, and we trust you to deliver us out of all the affliction. We bless you and we honor you, Father. We honor you. We pray your blessings over every person identified or submitted to Pastor Woodrow and Francine Walker as their pastor. We pray that we come into alignment, all of us come into alignment, because the enemy has raised up, he's ramped up his attack. We gotta raise up higher so that we can withstand the fiery darts, because they're coming. We're in the winning circle, we have the victory, but we gotta walk it out. You're with us to help us to walk it out. We look forward to hearing, well done. Well done by you, Lord Jesus. So in Jesus' name, we bless you and we honor you. Amen.